being in upstate New York or being in New York, period, people assume a certain level of education and things that don't necessarily happen. So when we talk about, racism and people being shocked, like Chloe was, she was upset and mad because you think that in New York, these things wouldn't happen, right? Because we're in New York. But unfortunately, because what racism looks like has changed, nobody's saying the N-word, nobody's calling us, black this and black that. And what it is what it looks like is when you go into a hospital and you complain about how you're being treated, and then you're escorted out, or security comes, or you're told to be quiet, or you're being dismissed and not listened to. This is what causes death. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, if you're not being called that, you kind of brush it off, and you're like, maybe it's me. You internalize it, and when you're in that vulnerable state, you don't want to. You want somebody to help you and take care of you, and you're afraid that if you say anything that they will put you out, or they will call security on you because it's been done. And so it and that's what we want people to know too. It's the little things, it's the nuances of it, and that they can get away with it because they're not clearly stating the N-word. They could say, oh well, she's doing this, she's disturbing the other patients, and it's like, this woman is having, she's in labor. There's some pain attached to that, Or why shouldn't she ask for this or that when everybody, when white women can ask for this and she's treated a certain way, but when I ask for it, it's like, how dare you? And so, that's when we talk about, when we say it's not so much as when you can see it, the language that's changing, and we know it when we feel it. When somebody has offended you because you're like, wait a minute, But if you speak up, there could be consequences. So that would be, if you take anything away from this, it's understanding that it's changing, and a lot of it has to do with the language at this point. And that's what structural racism looks like.
Right. And it's like you're saying, it's not so much this overt racism anymore. It's this subvert racism that's in microaggressions and smaller interactions and the way things are talked about. So back to the project, what were some of the initial research questions that you were trying to answer with this study, and what potential answers or solutions to these issues might have come from the project?
So our research questions were, how do Black birthing peoples in Albany County experience pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum period? What are the needs and assets of local communities impacted by racial disparities in birth and maternal outcomes? And in what ways can we organize to build supportive, cohesive communities around birthing peoples?
Do you feel like you answered those questions, or did you find any solutions to those questions?
We didn't finish the project. It's an unfinished project, basically, and we're still working on it. We had planned a community event, but given the fact that we weren't able to do the community event, which was scheduled for April 25th, right as the pandemic was, we were in initial lockdown at that moment. We're still trying to figure out like what our next steps are. But in the summer, we did like start looking at some of these stories that we collected, and there were lots of themes. And we also had one meeting in March 7th, which was amazing that we were able to have that meeting just before everything got locked down. And that was with the storytellers and the listeners and everybody in the project, and where we could all like listen to the stories together. The themes in the stories, and anyone else can help me out, but a lot of the things that Nakia was saying around barriers to breastfeeding. I mean, we have lots of stories around that. We have, this separation of the mom and the child, like not keeping that dyad together is just, was something that, is so striking, because you hear that in so many stories, like the mom saying, they took my baby away and I had to ask, like, why are you taking it to the NICU? And, like, trying to find answers to questions that they should have been informed about, right? But you also hear, like, on the positive side, and there are many stories that of the traumatic side, but on the positive side, you know, you hear a lot about family members, like, you know, just coming in, really supporting, demanding a room when, you know, mom is being told they should go back home, and saying, no, we're staying, you have the space, give us, you know, a place to labor, we're ready. And other ways advocating for their, you know, their loved one, if it's their daughter or whoever. But also, you know, stories where, you know, people were told, like, I really want to ask my mom to come, you know, to come support me. And, you know, nurses or whoever saying, no, you can't do that. You know, just it's pretty horrifying, actually, how pervasive and at almost every step of the way, right? People have to advocate for themselves when they're in this vulnerable situation, as Nikia said, where really you should just be, like, totally encircled with love and care, right? That's, like, the way it should happen. And it could be like that. And I think that's, like, the strength of what BirthNet and others are doing, is trying to counter this sort of very medicalized approach. Like, we as a community can take steps, and we will take steps to provide supports.
One of the things that was consistent in a lot of our stories were that the moms were being ignored in their requests for certain procedures, or in their requests for medicine, or, like, they were not being consulted before, you know, getting an epidural, or not being consulted before, like, C-sections, not being consulted before episiotomy. It's just ultimately not being listened to, and having their needs being ignored was unfortunately, like, a very consistent theme in the project. So I do think that's something that's worth mentioning when we talk about the Black maternal health crisis, is Black women are just literally not being listened to when they're more than aware of what their needs are in that situation.
It's good that you guys are all providing this platform for Black women to be listened to, too. Now, even though it's after the fact, but it's really important that their voices are heard in this, right? So what do you each hope that the general public might take away from this, like, when they are eventually able to hear these stories? Or is that...
Yeah, what we do with BirthNet is we were able to get permission for some of the moms for some of our projects. So if we do, like, a Facebook Live or a Zoom link meeting, we'll showcase one of the moms or some of the moms, just to, you know, make it real for the listeners to say, hey, you know, like she was saying, you know, you probably think you're the only one going through this. And it's like, no, chances are somebody else is experiencing this too. So we're trying to use the stories that way to showcase moms and you know, that way, and support the story. Because the birth justice stories, I thought it was amazing. And I think, you know, we can continue to do them. They're definitely worth doing.
For any mother that may hear this, the power of, like, no, the power of saying no, like, I know what's wrong with my body. I know what I feel. I know where I am. I know I am conscious. I know that I'm intelligent enough to know what I want. The power of this kind of holding that power and kind of practicing that power of saying, listen, I know what I want. And not thinking that you only have one choice, because there's never only one choice, the way of giving birth. And you know how you feel. So I want all mothers to literally feel empowered and opening their mouth and saying, listen, this is what I want, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. And for mothers to know that they're definitely, definitely not alone, no matter the age, no matter, like, where you are, what state, no matter where it is happening, no matter how educated you think your doctor is, there's always some underlying factor, and you're definitely not alone in wanting help and needing help. And don't feel muted like I said I did, in trying to share your story and reaching out for help.
I think it's important to me that the general population hears this, because Nikia touched on it earlier, but a lot of times when we think of racism and we think of white supremacy, we think about, like, being called the N-word, but oftentimes we don't think about it and its relationship to medicine. We don't think about the quantity of Black women who are being who are dying disproportionately in childbirth, who are experiencing C-sections disproportionately compared to other birthing peoples, who are more likely to have, like, stillborn and preterm births and stuff like that. We don't think about it that way because I think our society perceives doctors and medicine as being like absolute, and we don't really get the platform to be able to question medicine, especially as it pertains to giving birth. You know, Black women are experiencing the multiple overlapping oppressions of like being Black and also being woman and all the things that come with that. And I think it's important that society is aware that this is happening, because a lot of times it gets pushed under the rug. You know, we have been conditioned to perceive birth as this very dangerous and very life-threatening process, and it doesn't have to be, especially not when it comes to Black and brown people, who the disparity is consistent across economic, socioeconomic status and income and education, and these things are consistent. We have people like Serena Williams, who is an award-winning tennis player who literally her job is to be aware of her body in order to perform. And she, this professional woman, is being told like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Where if she didn't have the platform and the ability to advocate for herself and advocate for her body following the birth of her child, she probably wouldn't be here. So I think it's important that general society is aware of the fact that these things are happening and they're serious and they're life threatening. And I think that when the general public is aware of these things happening, it makes it a little bit easier for us to keep our legislators and our representatives accountable, and getting them involved in protecting minority women in the birthing process and keeping them accountable for minimizing the maternal health crisis in the United States for Black people.
And so I would just add that you've all said so much, but it's really important for the general public and policymakers to understand that communities have taken efforts into their own hands, because this is a completely unsustainable situation, and we can't wait on the medical establishment to make these changes or to, you know, take implicit bias trainings, which, you know, the effect may only be marginal if structural changes aren't made. And so I would say that the most important thing is for them to support the efforts of groups like BirthNet. BirthNet had to raise $20,000 in order to do this doula of color training. They are committed to assisting these doulas. Obviously, they run into roadblocks given the situation, the pandemic right now, and getting, you know, everybody done and certified, but they are totally continuing to work on that. And there was a lot of interest after that to do other trainings. In terms of policy long-term, we definitely need alternatives, alternative places to birthing. That was obviously made very evident during the pandemic. And we need places where, you know, midwives and doulas, you know, can have safe entry, can have, you know, labor in ways that are just, you know, so they can labor in shifts and, you know, have birthing centers that are supported, and where there is cooperation and respect for the work that midwives do from the obstetricians and gynecologists, so that there is, you know, coordination and collaboration, and there isn't, you know, the strife that I think is sort of, and, you know, indicative of the relationship of these fields in the past.